Good to be in the presence of the Lord, to feel the presence of the Lord this morning. And we're going to go to the book of Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. Amen. There's something about the Word of God. What we feel in the services is the presence of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And when we're free, we're not bound up. Amen. When we're free, we have liberty. Praise God. Thank God for the truth. Excuse me. Luke chapter 12, verse 16 this morning. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Amen. Everybody said, rich toward God. Rich toward God. There is a place to lay up treasures. And he said unto his disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. And God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then not be able to do that which is the least, why take you thought for the rest?" I want to use this parable here, and I want to focus on this available storehouse, rich toward God. Rich toward God. Amen. We can build our own warehouses, and we can fill our own warehouses, but there is a warehouse that God has that's available to us. Praise the Lord. I want to talk about it this morning and minister along that line today. Let's pray and ask for the help of the Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you for these young people that are here this morning. I thank you for each and every one of us that's here today. Let the Word of God speak to our heart, put it down deep inside of us, and we give you thanks and praise for it this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 You can be seated this morning. God bless you. Amen. This parable that Jesus gave us has a very important truth in it. In the parable, we see this rich man who came to very, very much in his life. And over the course of time, there was an attitude that developed within him because of the riches that he had amassed in his life, and came to the place where he felt like he was the sole controller of his life and his possessions. One of the things that we need to see is that when we walk in the flesh, then we have more of a desire to control everything ourselves instead of leaning on God and letting God control the most important things in life. I'm not against diligence and all of that. We're going to talk about that here this morning. But he came to the place where he felt like he was the sole controller of his life and his possessions. What we see in the parable is that nothing could have been further from the truth. his ground brought forth plentifully. And the ground brought forth plentifully because he planted seed, and the seed came from God. He received a bountiful harvest because he planted the seed in the earth, and the earth came from God. The earth brought forth plentifully because the rain came from God, and the sun shined on it from God. And God gave him the strength and the ability to go out into the field and to plow the field and to build the barns and the storage areas. All of the wood for his barn came from trees that God created. Amen. All of the product and everything in his life, even the clothes that he wore on his back, came from substance that was created by God. Well, praise the Lord. It was created by God. There was nothing that this man had that did not originate from God. And yes, we must be diligent, and yes, we must work, and all of that. And I'm going to get into that here this morning. What he missed was not the ability to be diligent in his life. It was not the ability to save up. It was not the opportunities that were around him. He missed this very truth that I'm just talking about, and that is that everything that he had came from God, and it could be taken away at a moment's notice. And in fact, that very night, it was taken away from him. He learned that lesson the wrong way. He got this attitude, and it says, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." So he got to a place where he wasn't pushing anymore. And he got to a place where he wasn't striving anymore. He got to a place where it was time to lay back and time to rest. He was probably a young man, some say, I'm going to retire at 50 or 45 or somewhere in there, that would somehow or another be a dream, and that would be great. And maybe you feel that way this morning right now. I'm not sure. But the truth of the matter is even in retirement, amen, we need to be doing something for God. And there's never a time to back up, and there's never a time to turn into party mode, amen, eat, drink, and be merry. I'll tell you what, friends, that'll get old real fast. And you'll become one very depressed individual because God made us to have a purpose in our lives. And that's from the very first breath unto the very last breath. Amen. That there is a purpose that God called us for. There is a reason that we are here. And if we ever step out of that purpose and that order, amen, then we are headed down. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, "And he is before all things," and so he was here before all things were ever created, "and by him all things consist." Everybody said consist. By him, by the Lord, everything consists. And that word consist there means to set together. And so everything is held together, everything is in its order because of God, and it stays in its order because of God. And the heavens and the earth are they are held in reserve unto the day of judgment by the word of God. When God said, "Let there be light," amen, you can do a little bit of a study on that word "let," amen. Let there be light. There was something that was available. There was now something that came to order. Amen. And the different spectrums of life came together, and the white light of God, the bright light, brighter than the noonday sun, began to shine in the universe. And they have come to a place, some have come to the place where they recognize that light creates matter. Amen. And that's why in probably the most famous equation, E equals MC squared, it deals with light. Amen. Light is a very foundation of the universe. And God put it together. God set it together. To consist means to set together. And so God puts all things in their order, and you and I are a part of that order. Amen. But even though we are a part of that order, there is something different about you and I. There is something different than our molecular complexion, or how we were built. Everything else in the universe, everything operates on the order of God. And it does not have a choice. It does not have a choice in the matter. If God made this lump here pure gold, it cannot, by a series of of teaching sessions, preaching sessions, whatever you want to do, you cannot. The gold cannot change itself. It's gold. And the molecules and all of the electrons, they continue to spin and they continue to hold together. They are set together as the element of gold. And we could do that with every other element that's in the universe. And not only the elements, but the live animals and all of the creatures of this earth, they are set in their order. They live their lives according to the order that God gave to them. In the fall, we see the geese going in a particular direction. In the spring, we see them going in another direction. Sometime here in the spring, if you want to get online, they have a Purple Martin spot online, and they have people that look for the scout, and the Purple Martin will send out a scout from down south and check out the area, and he will take back a message to the others, and they will migrate up to the northern areas, and we'll see them. Those birdhouses along the road on the lake, those are Purple Martin houses, and they'll be full of Purple Martins and little babies sticking their nose out of the hole and all of that. And they do that not because they choose to, but because they are compelled by the order of God. Praise the Lord. Everything is set in its order. Everything by Him all things consist. And yet there is something about you and I there that is different. Amen. There's something about you and I that God has given to us that He has not given to the animals, and He has not given to the elements, and that is the ability to make a choice. Amen. You and I can make a choice as to what we will do with the order that God sets before us. Amen. Everything is already set in its order. And when it comes to you and I, the pre-planned order has been laid out for each and every one of us. Your name was given to you before you were ever born. God knew you in your mother's womb before you were born. And so there was a plan ahead of time that God put together for you and I. But He gave us the power of choice to choose whether or not we will follow that order in our lives. Well, somebody praise the Lord with me this morning. Amen. God's good. God's wonderful. And He's got the best life for you and I, and He's just waiting for you and I to accept the order and to get excited about it. Amen. There's a limited resource for the elements, and they grow, the plants grow because of the light that comes to them and the nutrition that's in the soil, and that's all they can do. Plants can't build barns, and animals cannot build barns, and they cannot go out and work for money and build a house for themselves and raise a family. Amen. They don't do that. They're out there. They said way back in the Wild West that there was a train that got stuck in the snow. The drift was so big that the train got stuck in the snow. And when they started digging the train out of that huge, huge snow drift, they threw some snow out and there were some eyes looking at them. And they realized that it was a whole herd of buffalo. This is recorded in history, that there was a whole herd of buffalo, and they were just standing there in the snow with their eyes blinking, waiting for the spring to come. And that's just the way it is. They couldn't build their own house, and they weren't thinking about the future. They were just meandering along on the prairie like they were made to do. Praise God. But young people, praise God. Now, this is my amen corner up here. And I love these young people. I'm telling you what, don't just meander through life. Don't just go out in the prairie and drop your head and chew on the grass and whatever's available and whatever comes along. Oh, I got plenty of time in my life. I'm telling you what, God has given you, God has given the rest of us an opportunity. Amen, an opportunity. He has made a storehouse available to us. And it doesn't come to us, we have to go to it. It's here, and it's right before our very eyes, and the door is unlocked, but what we have to do is go and open the door and trust God with those resources that's been made available to us. Well, all the young people said amen. Amen. I'm telling you what, do it when you're young, and you will appreciate this message for the rest of your life. It'll bless you for the rest of your life. Amen. Start giving of your life to God now and let God do the work in your heart and your life. We find this here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 when God created man and God put him here. And we are looking at it here, Genesis 1 and 26, and it says, let them have dominion. Everybody said, let. Let. Now, you might think that's a very simple word, but as I begin to study this out, there is a host of definitions of this word. And this Genesis chapter 1 and 26 it's not the same definition as the word let in the rest of the Bible. And it literally means to appoint or to have the charge of. Praise God. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds and the fowls, and so on and so forth. And so God did not give them dominion over these things to pillage and plunder and destroy. He did not give us the authority or to appoint unto us, amen, to appoint or have the charge of, so that all of a sudden we could feel the power within us and take advantage of the power that God has given us to abuse or to destroy God's creation. Amen. I believe that God is interested in how we take care of the earth. I do. I'm not an environmentalist here this morning. Praise God. But I'm telling you, I think that we need to take care of the land that God gives us. We should not pollute it. Amen. We should not do any of those things to it. The Bible says in the seventh year, you're not to even plant your crops. And that gives the earth time, the bacteria time to grow and to fertilize and to make the ground better. Amen. You shouldn't go out and dump a quart of oil on the ground, because it goes down in the ground. It gets into the water supply. And this is my personal feeling this morning. A lot of the cancers and things that we have in our generation is because of pollution, the onset of the chemical age, and we're managing things in the wrong way. I read way back in the 80s that I believe it was New York, they didn't have any place they could take their trash. And so they loaded all their trash into a false bottom boat, and they took it miles and miles out in the sea, and they opened up the bottom, and all the trash went to the bottom of the sea. And I thought, dear God, how in the world are we going to survive these kinds of things? How in the world are we going to expect our future generations? They had a plan in Boston, and I won't go into a lot of this, but they dumped raw sewage into the bay, beautiful bay right there in Boston, and it was some 3 feet thick on the bottom of the ocean, and they had to go in and clean it up, and it was a horrible mess, and it was polluting everything, and it was just not good. In any way you look at it, it was not good. And I thought, well, who came up with that idea? It was probably somebody that said, we're in charge and we're going to do what we want to do. Hey, listen, we may be in charge of it this morning, but bless your heart, we need to take care of it. Praise God. We need to take care of what we have. And we need to take care of the things that God has blessed us with, and be diligent managers of the things that God has given to us. Let them have dominion. And so there is an appointment. There is a time. There is an appointment. And there is a charge. Amen. God has given us the charge of these things. We are in charge of these things. And so we could look at that in a negative way, but I'm telling you what we need to do is we need to see the tremendous opportunity that we have. Amen. The tremendous opportunity that we have to be blessed. God brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. We know that story. And they were not in charge of anything. They were not in the will of God. Even though the Lord spoke that they would be in bondage for 400 years, it is not the will of God that we be in bondage to this world and be in bondage to the things that God created. Amen. But it is the will of God that we leave that bondage and we go to the promised land, where we have our own piece of property and we can lead our own life and have our destiny in our hands, because we have the charge of it. Praise God. We have the charge of it. God said, now you can be as blessed as you want to be. Well, praise the Lord. Consider the lilies, Luke chapter 12, verse 27, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Amen. And that much more there means better. It means by far better. We're better in God's eyes. Amen. The grass is not going to go to heaven, spend eternity with God. The animals, I always get in trouble when I say this. The animals aren't going to go to heaven either. Right. And some folks say, that makes me upset. Little Fifi needs to go to heaven with me. Amen. But Fifi's not going to go to heaven. Amen. Because he does not have the power of choice. Amen. And I had a man tell me one time he saw a vision with animals in heaven. And I never said anything, but that's really not the truth. There's nothing in the scriptures that even hints of that. Amen. But anyway, let's move on here this morning. We can in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, "But now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage?" Amen. And so what we've got to see this morning is there is a tremendous opportunity for us to go from where we are to a higher place. Amen. The cows cannot be counseled into bettering their life. The animals cannot be preached into doing better in their life. Amen. But we are different. We can choose to go to a higher place. Amen. We really can. And the reason I know that is because of the gospel. Repent. And so when we repent, we are casting away the things of the past. We are casting away the things, the thoughts, the lifestyle, all of the things of the past, and we can go to a higher place. Amen. It takes effort on our part. It takes dying out on our part. It takes sacrifice on our part. It takes saying no to some things that maybe we even like or are a part of our life. Amen. But we have a choice this morning to do better if we want to do better. Amen. You can finish high school and go to college if you choose. Or you can choose not to do that. Well, praise the Lord. And it's up to us. God has given us the charge of something. God has laid before us opportunity. And you say, well, it's too hard. I don't want to do it. That's a choice. Amen. Because even though it's hard, we have the opportunity there before us. Here's a field. You can plant this and be fed, and you can plant some cotton in part of it and clothe yourself, and there's trees on part of it. You can build a house, and there are those that will say, it's too hard. I'm not going to go out and spend the energy and the time. I'm just going to look at the possession that's there and the possibility that exists. But I'm telling you what, there's some that get excited about this. Let them have dominion. Praise God. And we have the opportunity to stand up, amen, and walk out there in the field and start to work. Amen. And it doesn't happen like magic. Don't expect it to happen that way. Because you drop the plow and you start plowing your first row, you're going to hit a tree stump and you'll have to stop your work and dig it out and then start over again. And you're going to hit a rock and you're going to have to dig that out. And then you're going to plant everything and the rains won't come the first year. And you won't have the harvest that you were expecting from it. And there are seasons when you will lose because of the nature of our world. Amen. It's not going to be a perfect situation, but we do have an opportunity and it will happen. Because what you sow is what you reap. Praise God. What you sow is what you reap. And in due season, the Bible says, you shall reap if you faint not. Now, why does the Bible say that? It says it because we have the opportunity to faint, by the way. That means that it gets hard. That means that you're going to spend some energy. Amen. That means that you've got to continue to push yourself. You've got to get up when you don't want to get up. Well, praise God. Got to go to church when you don't feel like going to church. Amen. Got to pray when you don't feel like praying. Got to fast when you've got a headache. Amen. Because down the road, there will be a reward that comes because what you sow is what you reap. It's a principle that has been given to us only, not to the animals, not to the elements, only to us. Let them have dominion. Amen. He did not say that to anything else, but we have dominion over our future. We have dominion over our circumstances, and we can choose. Praise God. We can choose. and the hindrances that are before us, that's all they are temporary hindrances. Amen. If others can do it, I can do it. I just have to pay the price they paid. Praise God. I told my sister-in-law I want a brand new shiny, red shiny Corvette. The latest model. Amen. She said, well, I'll get it for you. And whenever I hear her on the phone, I said, where's my Corvette? Well, it's coming. It's coming. You know, I saw somebody driving one the other day. Everybody I see that's driving these Corvettes that got gray hair and big ears. I don't know what the deal is with that. But they're all, that's the way it is. Amen. Oh, God, help me. Brother Tucker's got a Corvette. You need to come pick me up and we can go drag Douglas or something. No, we're not going to do that. He's got two of them, actually. Amen. I'd love to ride in that. You know what, Brother Tucker? I've never ridden in a Corvette in my whole life. All right. Did you all hear that? See, there's opportunity before us. All we have to do is reach out and get a hold of it. Amen. Could I drive? Oh, yes, sir. That's all I ever drove was standard shift vehicles. Is it on the column or the floor? No, I'm teasing. Yeah. You got a picture of a car in your room, don't you? Yeah. I was listening to a young man one time, and he said, I'm going to get me this kind of a car. I'm going to get me one of those Dodge Chargers that's all souped up and all of that. And he was probably you guys' age. And we said, do you have a job? No, I don't have a job, but I want one of those things. It's available. I saw it on the lot. I'm just going to go up there and tell them I want one of those. And if I say it right, they'll just give it to me. Just go ahead. I challenge you to go try it. Amen. Just go try it and see if it works. And you can remember that the pastor said it won't work and they won't do that for you. You know why? Because they worked for that car. They're paying something to sell that to you. Amen. Somebody worked on an assembly line and built that car. Somebody put the time and the effort into it, to put a motor into it, amen, to get it set up. And then those that don't understand the principle, when they go to the person that's fixed this thing all up, Brother Tucker, I know you put a motor in that thing that's souped up a little bit and kind of burned the tires and whatever. Would it be all right if Isaac stand up and turn around and look at Brother Tucker? All right, you can sit down. Would it be okay if we came out and he drove a couple miles down the road? When he gets of age and he's got proof of insurance. Good answer. Amen. You know what my answer would be? No. Brother Greg shaking his head. Amen. No, you're not going to drive this thing because I put some effort and energy into this. Amen. There's some of us around here, we put energy and time and finances into the work of God. Amen. I'm telling you what, we love our church. Praise God. I'm telling you what, we love the work of God because we have invested into it. Amen. And so what we've got to do is we've got to see the things that are available to us. Luke chapter 11 and verse 11. If a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? And of course the answer is no. Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent or a snake? The answer is no. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? The answer is no. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Everybody said good gifts. Amen. It's Christmas time. There's going to be good gifts under the tree. We tell them that they're going to get a bag of coal if they don't act right through the year. But it never happens. It never happens. Maybe it does. I've never given my kids a lump of coal, and I don't know anybody else that ever has. You know why? Because we love our children. And we overlook their little idiosyncrasies and all of those little things, and we bless them anyway, right? Right? Yeah. How much more? How much more? Let's look at it here. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He'll do that. But in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11, he says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? Praise God. Folks, there's some things that are available today. If you need a car, ask God. God, I need a car. And all of a sudden, you'll be going down the road and you'll see a help wanted sign. Nathan thought I was going to say a car sitting there. Beautiful, shiny car that says free. And if you ask God, he'll give you that car for free. That's not what it's talking about. He's going to give good things to them that ask him. Praise God. And so there's going to be a help wanted sign right there, hiring right now. You need to put the brakes on the car, go right in there and sign up. Amen. As long as you're not missing, you know, school and church and whatever else. Amen. And get busy and start working. And then they'll say, what are you doing? And you can either say, it's a job. Or you can say, this is my new car. I'm building a new car. I'm working on a new car. Amen. I'm doing something for the future. Are you getting this here this morning? Amen. God's made it available to us. He hasn't made it available to anything else in his creation. Amen. And the word here says, I'm on the wrong page. It says in the scripture that we read this morning, God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Amen. I'm telling you that there are some things that are required of us. It's not an open-ended thing. It's not a bag of goodies under the tree that comes through the chimney. Amen. It's not something that just is pop, all of a sudden it's there. Ask in faith. If whatever you ask, you'll receive it. And so you ask for a toy. I remember asking for a toy for Christmas and I never got it. I went in my room and I cried and I cried, really feeling sorry for myself because I didn't get it. And then one year I asked for a certain toy and they got the wrong toy. And I went back in the bedroom and cried again. Life's tough, you know. Sometimes things can get really hard. Praise the Lord. Lord, give me. All of a sudden, poof, there it is. Wow, this is awesome. I'm going to ask again. Poof, there it is again. Oh, my goodness, we're going to have fun. I love living for God. But then when you go to God in prayer, maybe what you're missing is the for hire sign. Maybe you're missing the help wanted sign that God's giving you. Maybe you're missing the opportunity instead of just looking at your property, going out there and doing something with your property, whatever your property is. Amen. And it starts with an attitude. God, help me this morning. I'm about finished, but it goes down to the little things. How do you take care of your bicycle? Now, I know I'm preaching to the young people this morning, and y'all, you know, just kind of, you can be my amen corner. Amen, amen. That's what they need to do. How do you take care of your house? How do you take care of your car? How do you take care of your money that comes through your hand? Do you steal from God with it? You give God his, and then what do you do with the rest of it? Oh, boy, I got paid. I'm going to Freddy's. I'm going to Dairy Queen. I'm going to blow it. I'm going to say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods. Eat, drink, and be merry. Listen to the pastor this morning. I'm giving you some things that are very, very true. Amen. If you'll take it and you'll lay it aside and you'll say no to yourself because I've got a purpose for doing this. Otherwise, it's just a job. No, it's just a job. Amen. I was in a donut shop a while back, and the owner of the donut shop said, how's things going? He said, oh, another day, another donut. I said, oh, okay. I'm real excited about your business here. Yeah, another day, another donut. Another donut, another dollar. Oh, God, help us. Let's not go through life like that. Let's not live for God like that. What do you? Oh, just another day, another service. Just another day, another message. Just another day, another play. We've been through several plays already here. Amen. It's just another one. No, it's not. No, it's not. We're taking the resources that we have. Amen. And we're setting it up so we can bless somebody else. Amen. And I made a little quote here. This is my quote, all right? And maybe it'll become famous. Maybe it'll become famous. I don't know. If I can find it here. Yeah, here it is. Now listen to this. And I'm going to finish with this. Musicians, why don't you come right now? When we mature in God and in life, we should develop an excitement about the truth and come with someone else to help them hear and know the truth. Amen. Now here's my quote that I really want to make an emphasis on here. No longer do I come to be fed, but rather to feed. I'm not here this morning, and if you're newly coming to God, I completely understand you want to soak up everything you can get. But there comes a time of maturity and change where I'm not coming to be fed. Oh, I'm going to be fed. And the scripture says, when you sow the seed, then the seed is ministered back to you. And Jesus said it will be pressed down, heaped up, shaken together, running over. Amen. But you know what? I've come to realize that everything I expect isn't going to come to me. I've got to go get it. I've got to go get it. It's not going to come to me. Amen. Well, I'm just getting kind of burned out. Haven't gotten anything from the messages lately. You know what? You need to get a message in your heart by reading the Word of God instead of making the pastor do all your spiritual work for you, so that when you come to the house of God, you'll be blessed because I've touched God. You know what that'll do? That'll turn you into somebody that'll be criticizing your pastor. And say, well, if he was more spiritual, I'd be receiving something. You know what? We're here this morning because somebody saw an opportunity here. Right. Praise God. Amen. Amen. There's an opportunity. All these pews right here in the middle, I built these here myself personally. I spent several weeks. And aren't they comfortable? They're not perfect, but they're comfortable. Isn't it comfortable this morning? Is anybody uncomfortable? We'll get you. We'll go buy a pillow and help you so you can be comfortable this morning. Amen. You know what? It's not all about me coming and just receiving something from the house of God, from the ministry of the Word of God, but it's all about me putting something into it. Me doing something myself. I'm going to bring somebody with me. I'm going to make a phone call this week. Why? Because it's a tremendous opportunity. All around us are opportunities. Praise God. Praise God. I was at an auction the other day. Saw a couple of chairs. Three of them, in fact. And I bought them. There's others of you that do the same thing. I bought them. Do I need a chair to sit in? No, I don't need a chair to sit in, but somebody else does. And I've got a feeling that somebody else will pay more for that chair than what I paid for it, because it's really worth more than what I paid for it. And so now I've got it up for sale, and hopefully I'll be able to make a profit. That's Bible. We take our talents and we buy and we sell and we trade, and we increase what God gives us. Praise the Lord. Well, thank God. I'm not just saying, oh God, put a check in the mailbox this morning. I need some money. Oh God, put some food in the refrigerator, please. I need something to eat. Praise God. No, I'm going to involve myself in the process because I have been granted dominion. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just love Him this morning? I feel the Holy Ghost here. The Lord is in this service here this morning. Amen. And He wants to provide our needs. Amen. Amen. Lord, we pray Your blessings upon us, God. Help us to see the tremendous opportunities all around us. Every person is a potential saint of God. Every person is a potential Bible study. Oh God, I thank You this morning. I thank You this morning. Come on, the Holy Ghost is here. Let's just reach out together this morning. Praise God. 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 You say, well, then why did Jesus even come to this earth? If we have dominion and we can do it all ourselves, what we've got to understand is that God gave us some things that we have dominion over, but there are some things that we do not have dominion over. God came to help us with the things that we could not help ourselves with, but now He asks us to deal with those things that we can help ourselves with. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. He came to save us. We can't save ourselves. That's why He said to the rich man, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You're too high, you're too heady, you're too high-minded. You think you've arrived, but God said you're a fool because you have not given God the glory, amen, for all the things that you have. Praise God.